From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. This is the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. We're going to get the Bobby Portis, Taj Gibson, Alfred Payton on this episode. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. You could go to the audio archive episodes found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher apps. Now we're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and of course Spotify for the millenniums. So we're going to get to the three Knicks. We're going to have a good dialogue. If you have not heard the other episodes this week or just pretty much last month, 6 months, or a year and change, a consistent KGYR, Knicks, Giant, Yankee, Ranger talk with all sports, all in between. Earlier this week, if you want to check it out, this past Monday we had the West Coast trip. If you're a Yankee fan and into the Major League Baseball, I had a good dialogue with at Kane's Eagle One, Donardo DP, the Worm, talking to the West Coast trip, AL, and a wild card. That episode's available on the archive on those platforms. And of course, if you are a New York Rangers hockey fan, and I saw Ranger fans being a little bit upset about Derek Brassard being signed to the Islanders. But anyway, nonetheless, talking with Ranger Proud on Pavel Buchnevich and also on Mark Stahl, longtime defenseman for the Rangers. We looked at both of those players. If you're into the football, tomorrow night we'll have Giants Bengals reaction after preseason game number 3, the dress rehearsal game. So check that out. If you're into the other teams as well, feel free to sound off on all your other teams. If you happen to be Packers fan, Cardinals fan, whatever. If you're a fan on these other teams and you guys got a game and you want to discuss it, come and talk with the Forum for the Fans. Let's get to Portis, Payton, and Taj Gibson. Should be some interesting dialogue with these free agents. And interesting in the sense of a surprise as far as Scott Perry and Steve Mills going after these guys. In free agency, maybe some of it is a surprise, but some of it was a surprise. So, nonetheless, let's bring on the stakeholders and get to the dialogue right away because we have no time to spare. Donardo DP has joined the dialogue. Donardo DP, say hello to the people. How you doing, sir?
Good evening, Stephen. How are you today?
Good evening, bro. How you doing, man?
I'm great, Steve.
You know what? Before we get into the Knicks, we could start off with one of them. Bad start for our Yankees and on this West Coast trip. That's a conversation extension from the Monday episode. That was not good. we got a handful tonight, but I just wanted to say that to you, bro, because that was a carryover from Monday.
Especially, yeah, not just that, Steve. Especially knowing we threw our best pitcher out there.
That's exactly where I was going with the Monday episode. Let's bring on Chandler. Chandler, say hello to the people before we get into these Knicks. How you doing, sir?
All right. How y'all doing?
Man, you don't sound too enthusiastic, bro. You all right?
Nah, it's a lot of pain today.
Oh, man. All right. I hope you get better, man. Sorry to hear that. Dominic, let's start with, let's see. Bobby Portis. Let's start with Bobby Portis. What's your thoughts, Dominic? And then we'll go to Chandler. We'll get to Bobby Portis and all the Knicks fans that's joining the dialogue. We'll get them on as they get on. But go ahead, Dominic. Let's start with Bobby Portis. What's your thoughts as far as the addition with him for 2019-20?
Well, to piggyback off with what we've been saying for the last 3 weeks, it's all about time. Time, minutes. I mean, he's put up good numbers, Steve, for a guy that's basically, I don't even want to say a superstar or a star, but he averaged 10 points a night over his career, 6.5 rebounds. And that was basically in some limited minutes too. His worst year was the last 2 years in Chicago where he played less minutes, but he averaged playing about 20, 22 minutes a game. That in itself might be a little hard with the Knicks, but even with that being said, he's a career 45% shooter. So he could be an addition, Steve. I'm stuck on that. Who's playing? Who's playing? Who's not playing? Who's playing these minutes? Who's playing those minutes? think he could be a viable piece. He's a tough cookie. So at least he'll bring that, you know, with him and Randall and Morris. We'll have a little bit of toughness. So it's just all about the minutes, Steve. I don't know where some of these guys fit in, just like the next guy we're going to talk about, but he could be a good asset if he keeps his head screwed on straight, you know, helps out the young guys and does what he has to do in whatever minutes he's been given. Because, again, Steve, he's never averaged more than 27 minutes a season. So, and his low was 17, 18. So, it's all about where is he going to fit in with this rotation, Steve. Again, that goes back to Fizdale.
All right, let's go to Chandler. Shout out to Dominic. Thank you very much. We'll go to Chandler, then we'll bring on Mr. Live. Chandler, thoughts on Bobby Portis?
I didn't understand the signing. It never made sense to me. And I don't want to hear about, oh, and he's from this and tough guy. I don't care about all that because, you know what, that's not what the NBA is now. His signing doesn't make sense to me on a whole lot of levels. You got Julius Randle, you got Taj Gibson. Or you get Julius Randle and you get Bobby Portis. You don't get Julius Randle, Taj Gibson, Bobby Portis, and the Morris kid. I can't remember which one of them it is. Because you're telling me you're trying to develop players. Well, in order to actually develop players, you got to commit to them. So if he's playing these heavy minutes, because he's going to be playing the 3 or the 4, he's not a 5. If Kevin Knox, who you drafted as a lottery pick, is truly somebody you're trying to develop, when does he get to play? I mean, I look at Bobby Portis, honestly, as a younger version of Taj Gibson, a guy who came in with a lot of talent, a lot of physical talent. And what has he really done with it? So what am I supposed to expect from him? You know, and don't give me the, well, nobody's calling Bobby Portis no veteran leader, all right? There's no team he's been on, anybody told me he was any kind of leader, right? Especially with the nonsense that went down in Chicago, the nonsense that went down in Minnesota. Don't tell me about this guy being some kind of leader. I'm not trying to hear it. I don't understand the move. Like I said, I got nothing against Bobby Portis. If you bring him in as a backup player, but him along with the 75 other forwards never made sense to me. I don't understand unless he's just somebody you're going to have and use as trade bait, which, again, you're still stunting the growth of your young players because they're not going to play until he's gone. I don't understand why Bobby Portis is a Knick.
All right. That is Chandler. Thank you very much. Mr. Live, we get to Bobby Portis. Then after that, I'll sound off, and then we'll get to the other two acquired Knicks in free agency, which would be Taj Gibson, Elfrid Payton, and other stuff around the NBA after that. But Mr. Live, your thoughts, sir. How you doing?
What's good? What's good, y'all? How y'all doing, man?
What's good, man? What's good?
Okay, so we're speaking about Bobby Portis, man. I actually see him as the prototypical center off the bench in today's game, actually. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's, again, what did he shoot from behind the three? Almost 40%.
39%.
Yeah.
Right.
Almost 40%. You know, he rebounds. He got a little putback. You know, high percentage from the two. And, again, you know what I'm saying? I expect Mitch to get most of those minutes, but I thought Bobby Portis was a great pickup. You know what I'm saying? And really maybe somebody who they could look at and go, okay, if he takes another step, you know, resign. Because, again, Vaughn Lake, you know, I got to say he kind of regressed halfway through the year, almost like he gave it his all in the first half and then just started throwing up bricks and stuff like that. So, you know, that second five off the bench has to be solidified. Do you understand what I'm saying? It wasn't from the cat last year who was shooting all the threes. because he was a slow. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't that fast coming down the block, and he was a good weak side defender, but everybody was beating him off the dribble. So I like Bobby Porter. You know what I'm saying? I think he was a good pickup. And again, I don't, you know, maybe not in the mentorship aspect, you know, but I think, again, I think with those attitudes, when you talk about the culture change, you know what I'm saying, and how you want these young brothers to grow up, you know, in the league, you don't want them to be pushovers. You know, like this is the total opposite of what we had for so many years, you know what I'm saying, with the Morris brother, with Portis, who's known to punch his own teammates in the face, you know what I'm saying? Peyton is no slouch in that department, nor is Ellington, for that matter, you know. So you got a whole bunch of cats who's really, and again, you know, maybe not in the tough guy department, but Randall is a spearhead to, you know, some really aggressive defense. And you put him and Mitch on that front line, and it's like that. So you got Bobby Portis, you know what I'm saying? Maybe Bobby Portis and probably the way I'm looking at it, you know, Morris coming on that second unit that's intimidated, man. So I really like the Portis pickup.
All right. Shout out to Mr. Live. My thoughts on Bobby Portis, and I thought he actually played pretty decent once he went to the Washington Wizards last year. To Mr. Live's point, and what I recognized that he shot the ball well from three, so that's kind of a plus. So, I mean, as far as fit, he's going to play the five. He's a four. He's kind of a tweener. He's 6'11". He played for those years in Chicago. He was more of a four. He was a power forward. But for this to work as far as getting guys minutes and setting rotations, he's going to have to play a five, like a stretch five. And I'm fine with that. Now, I'm going to see this is Mitchell Robinson. If he does not improve as far as his staying on the court, drawing a lot of fouls, I can see Bobby Portis's minutes escalating a lot more. Coming off the bench, you know, if Mitchell Robinson's in foul trouble. I actually could see him in a lot of foul trouble because I saw a lot of that in the summer league, and I know a lot of people don't want to put no weight on summer league, but you look at that type of barometer to see what improvements or disimprovements did you have in your game. And I just have this funny feeling that Mitchell Robinson is going to have a tough time in some games staying off the court because of foul trouble or something like that. So this is where Bobby Portis comes in. He's going to be a five. He has to be a five. I mean, we have a lot of power forwards on our team. And another guy we're going to discuss tonight is another power forward, Taj Gibson. Bobby Portis, where we already know what he brings to this game. He's actually a pretty good shooter. I mean, why would you not want to have him coming off the bench behind Mitchell Robinson as far as a guy who's totally opposite offensively, because Mitchell Robinson has no offensive weapon to his game, except for catching alley-oops, where Portis could play face up from 20, 23 feet out and shoot threes, or he'll drive and he'll shoot a floater or a jumper above you at 6'11". The only thing, you know, I hope the chemistry works. What happened with him with Mirotić in Chicago, I mean, that's kind of somewhat in the past, a couple of years removed. But just looking at his offensive game, just looking at what he – I mean, this is a good asset to have off the bench. It was a good contract as far as years. But here's the thing. Like, I don't think a lot of – well, I guess they imply it. I mean, he's only 23 or 24 years old. I mean, this guy hasn't reached his ceiling. I think he has a lot of basketball – good basketball to play ahead of him. And I think if we could get him about 22 to 23 minutes – of playing time, and I think he could be a very effective player for us. I know it looked real bad as far as all the power fours being signed, but I just see him, like you, Mr. Live, I see him as a center. I see him coming behind Mitchell Robinson. That's going to have to work. They if they're going to set this rotation and get guys minutes, he has to be a five, a stretch five, and I think that's fine because I'm looking at all the other guys in the East, and I don't think there's other backup centers that I really fear that he would have to go up against or additional start. I mean, starters like, you know, Joel Embiid, they're in the same between if their minutes crossed against each other. I mean, that does worry me. Like somebody like that, or Marc Gasol or something like that, like big four that could really bully him. But Bobby Portis could hold his own. I had an issue at the time, but after thinking about it, about a week or two after we signed all these guys in free agency because we didn't, land max free agents, which is, that's kind of fine with me as well. I'm cool with the Bobby Portis thing. I hope it works out. Now, Dominic, do you have any additional thoughts? Not only with just Bobby Portis, we could move on to Elfrid Payton as well. So thoughts on anything else on Bobby Portis or Elfrid Payton as well?
Well, you and Mr. Live bring up good points. I didn't want to stretch my time out, but when you look at him and Randall, they're the same age. Their numbers are very close in proximity, even down to the minutes. Randall averaged 15 points. What's the name? Average 10.2, 6 rebounds, Portis, 8 rebounds, Randall. I think from listening to you guys talking, I was going to mention it, but I didn't want to get winded. That could be a good duo. In the event, like you say, Steve, Mitchell Robinson got to prove he could be on the court or prove he could stay on the court. So in the event that don't happen, and again, guys, other than a couple of centers in the NBA, we are into that positionless basketball right now. So if he could continue his stroke from the outside, him and Randall might – I was skeptical of the signing myself, especially for the money. And especially because of the bodies we had at that position. But the more I looked at it, the more I was like, this could work out, guys. I mean, especially, again, if Mitchell can't get his skills in his head to become one, you're going to need somebody like that. I'll put it this way, guys, and I'll move on. I'd rather see him come in for Mitchell Robinson than Taj Gibson.
All right. Now, what about Dom? Anything you want to add on? We could transition to Elfrid Payton. What's your thoughts to him? And then we could go back to Chandler for both of those players as well.
That to me, guys, I think that was probably the weirdest signing. Because here we go again with this revolving door of point guards. You finally got a very good, highly energetic, young point guard in Dennis Smith Jr. Now here we go. We got Payton, we got Bill Aquina, we got Dennis Smith Jr. Here we go with this log jam again. And I'm not going to keep beating this dead horse, but I am going to keep beating this dead horse. This is all revolver around Fizdale now. I mean, he's a decent shooter, don't get me wrong, 45%, average 11 points. I just don't think he brings the energy with this young makeup we have that a Dennis Smith Jr. And again, guys, I must take off my Dennis Smith hat. I'm just saying Dennis Smith Jr. brings a certain level of energy that the Knicks have been lacking for years. So when I look at your sheer athletic ability, he worked on his shot this year. He just brings so much more than Payton does at this time and where the Knicks are right now in their makeup. So he, to me, guys, I know what people say about Portis and Taj Gibson because of the logjam, but I thought he was the most strange signing to me. So, again, he's a 29-minute-a-game guy. Is he going to get 29 minutes a game with the Knicks? Somebody's falling out the rotation. I assume it's going to be Bill Aquina, but that, to me, guys, that was the most confusing signing. So I'll leave that at that. He's a good young player, don't get me wrong. I just think the makeup is a little screwy at this time, unless the Knicks, of course, have more long-term goals with him than they do Dennis Smith, because this is Dennis Smith Jr.'s last year on his contract. So unless the Knicks know something we don't know, I just found this one to be a tad bit surprising.
All right, let's go to Chandler. Chandler, additional thoughts on Bobby Portis. And, of course, we can go to Elfrid Payton. What's your thoughts on that signing?
But with the Portis thing, I understand exactly what everybody's saying about Mitchell Robinson, but here's my question. Mitchell Robinson was drafted as a project. Projects usually take more than one season. If Mitchell Robinson was – you knew he was going to be a project, Portis here. Because if he struggles, which he probably will, Mitchell Robinson – because he was a project. He didn't go to college, so basically you're kind of building him from the ground up. And you're going to say, well, if he struggles, we got Bobby Portis, and then Portis plays the majority of the minutes, I'm going to ask this word again, where's the development? Because projects usually take more than the season to come into their own. So that's why, again, I don't understand why Bobby Portis is here. If you have a Mitchell Robinson, if you have a Kevin Knox, and you know these guys are going to take longer than two seasons to really come into their own, it just doesn't make sense. Alfred Payton, I think, is the dumbest signing of the offseason. I truly do. Listen, Lonzo Ball shoots better from three-point percentage than Alfred Payton. Okay? And I'm already tired of hearing from Alfred Payton's father. Or I'm already tired of hearing from him. I don't care what his father has to say. I don't care. He is a 30% three-point shooter. He's 30%. 30%. He's 25. You have Dennis Smith Jr., who's, what, 21, 22, who actually is coming into, who looks like he could be your point guard of the future. At some point, again, you have to commit to a young player and allow them to go through their growing pains. Growing pains are a part of this. This is not a microwave. You can't instant bake this thing. His numbers in a vacuum look good, but honestly, he's more of a mid-range game guy in a game where the point guard is supposed to be shooting three-pointers. Yeah, he won Defensive Player of the Year in college. That's great. No one cares about defense in the NBA anymore. If this was 10 years ago, Alfred Payton would be a great signing. It's not 10 years ago. It doesn't make sense. They keep doing this to these young point guards, and whether it be Frank Weber, if you don't believe in the point guard you have, then don't get him. Go get somebody else and commit to that. The player has to lead the team. How can you lead the team if you're constantly looking over your shoulder to see if somebody else is coming? And, yeah, competition is great. That's one thing. But you have to give a young player confidence by saying, you're my starting point guard. Right now, Alfred Payton is the starting point guard. And what are you going to get out of him? History is a good indicator of future events. I don't see him turning into some point guard that really fits this NBA. I don't. So I really don't. I really think that was a dumb signing. I think this is Scott Perry, who drafted him in Orlando, once again drafted a player that he wanted. And I think it's going to hurt Dennis Smith Jr. I think it's going to hurt Mitchell Robinson, honestly. I don't think he's a good fit with some of the players on his roster. The signing of him, now, if you're talking about private reports, makes no sense. This is absolutely ludicrous. It really is.
All right, let's go to Mr. Shout out to Chandler. Mr. Lott, let's go to you. Follow up on Dominic and Chandler's thoughts on Bobby Portis and now Alfred Payton. Your thoughts, bro?
I'm gonna just piggyback a little bit off of the project situation. I think that's exactly why you get a Portis or a Payton. You understand what I'm saying for that matter? To your point, Steve, I don't think Mitchell Robinson is gonna be. He might foul out a lot of games. Once somebody figures out pump fake his ass and you can run right by him, or at least pump fake him and you can get him out of his positional stance and stuff like that. He's susceptible to that pump. You understand what I'm saying? And he's just very aggressive and he dives at people's knees and stuff like that. So he's gonna pick up a lot of fouls. So again, that was a point I didn't even think about what Dom has said with Portis and Randall being that's a crazy 1-2 right there in your front court. You know what I'm saying? Are you really coming up in there with somebody that punched somebody in their face? No, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going in that hole. Right, so there, let me look you that at that. Payton, I love Payton. I love the signing. You understand what I'm saying? Because as much as I love And let me put this out there. I think it'll be on Dennis Smith Jr. if we make the playoffs. He is one of the keys. You understand what I'm saying? Because he needs I see him working out. I see him doing his thing and all of that. But he does not have the mentality that Payton has. And Payton going to mess around and start. I won't be surprised if when they call out that starting rotation, that it's him. And I believe the only reason why he might not start is just so Dennis Smith keeps his calm. You understand what I'm saying? And he's going to give him games. But to Chandler's point, it's not good for your team. It's not, you know, Dennis Smith Jr. is going to be looking behind his shoulder all the time. Why? Because there's going to be an immediate chemistry between him and Randle. Randle was eating lovely with Peyton until he got hurt last year. Lovely. Dom noticed because he, you know what I'm saying, he mentioned it a couple of times last year. Maybe not as far as they tandem, but how New Orleans is really doing their thing. They was doing their thing early. So it's like there's immediate chemistry right there. You understand what I'm saying? I think that whole front court is going to benefit by Peyton's vision. He's a better passer than Dennis Smith Jr. He's a better floor general than Dennis Jr. You know what I'm saying? Both of them can't shoot no three. You understand what I'm saying? Dennis Jr. is the more energetic and physical guy. You understand what I'm saying? And we need his attitude, too. I'm telling you, the attitude of the team, I'm loving right now. And I want Dennis Smith to flourish. But, you know what I'm saying, I got to take the eyeball test and be like, listen, that floor and that spacing is going to be better run by Peyton. So I love to pick up. Both of them is on one-year contracts. The chemistry and the makeup of the team is going to happen now with Fizdale on the clock, you know. And them dudes is auditioning for the future. So, yeah, I like Peyton. I'm not going to lie, I like Peyton. I'm not saying necessarily over Dennis Smith Jr., but Dennis Smith Jr. got to get his – he got to do his job this year, you know. And by the way, Neil Kidd is out of here. He's going to be passing on Gatorade on that bench. He is gone. You know what I'm saying? He is out of here. Don't even look for that man getting no minutes. He's going to be a towel waiver. But then what was that cat on the Celtics way back in the days?
ML Carr.
Yeah, flag waiver. That's what he's going to be doing. You know what I'm saying? It might be a French flag, too. You know what I'm saying? French flag. Get that guy out of here, man. He's out of here. I'm calling him France Wall
now, yo. Hold on, Mr. Clark, but to be M.O. Carr, you got to know how to talk a lot of shit. I don't think Frankie Donuts got that.
Nah.
You know?
Nah.
Be able to, look, if somebody curses you out of French, you know what he's saying? No, he gonna say catch just by waving his flag and go, ha-ha, ha-ha. He going to kill those. You know what I'm saying? But he going to be on that bench. He ain't going to get no burn unless somebody get hurt.
Oh, my goodness. That is hilarious. He's an ML Carr. Shout out to Mr. Live. We're going to bring on Bryce into the conversation. Bring on Bryce. Bryce, we're talking Knicks, of course. It's good to have you back, man. It's been a minute. Taj Gibson. We'll get to Taj Gibson later. Bobby Portis, Elfrid Payton. But also, with your thoughts on those two Knicks, your entire thoughts with this Knicks offseason, with the draft, the free agency. We'd definitely like to get your thoughts, and then we'll go back to myself on these two Knicks before we go back to Dom on Taj Gibson. But Bryce, what's up, bro?
Yo, what's good, fellas? Always good to talk Knicks with y'all. So real quick, overall, if you look at it with a fine tooth, I mean, yeah, let me say it like this. Overall, if you look at just on the surface, what we know with Durant and Irving, it's a failure. The Knicks came across, for the Knicks, it came in the worst possible time with the worst possible team with the Nets. So I understand that. But when you kind of look at the nooks and crannies of it, you know, I like the moves they made with the people that they got, particularly since you brought up Portis. And who was the other guy you brought up? Portis and Peyton.
Elfrid Payton.
Yeah, I like Portis because if you only think of Portis playing the four, it's like, man, it's a logjam. But I think Fizdale, one, trying to create more competition, B, trying to bring veterans in who can really push the young guys, and then C, you know, when it comes to Mitchell Robinson just, like someone said, fouling out, maybe you get 30 minutes from him, but then a lot of nights you might not get that because he's still learning how not to foul out. So Portis could play the four and slide to the five. And he wants to have that position flexibility with the bigs, just like he does with his wings. So I like what that can bring. And if Portis is playing well and, you know, he wants more time or things aren't working well, you know, the Knicks are setting themselves up at the trade deadline to pick up some more assets. So I like that piece with the way that Fizdale wants to play. Same thing with Peyton. I mean, for me, it's like roll the ball out. Training camp is important. Best guy wins. If it's Dennis Smith Jr., he starts. If it's Peyton, he starts. But I like the fact that you can have some flexibility. Plus, we know Fizdale likes to put out two point guards there who can move the ball and handle the ball. So there could be some sets where they do that. Ultimately, it seems to me, and I don't know what everyone else thinks of this, that the moves the Knicks made, not only for veteran depth or what have you, obviously they know now the free agent pie in the sky ain't coming. No more talk of that. You got to try to win. But they want to win a certain way with flexibility, and Fizz wants to be positionless. So he wants to be able to throw a bunch of different lineups out there, see if they can get out to the gate with a good start. Maybe some guys' playing time will fall back if they're not playing well, vice versa. And then maybe you can get some trade talks with some of these guys if they want out. But we'll have to see. But they've given themselves some flexibility, and I think they're definitely going to be more competitive. So overall, outside of the big free agent misses, you know, that was very Knicksian and Dolian or whatever you want to say, I think just on a basketball perspective, I give them a B minus.
All right. Any additional thoughts? Or you have any questions, Bryce, for any of the Knicks fans on this line as far as this all season, these particular Knicks on this episode? Good to hear from you. Any additional thoughts or not?
Yeah. Here's one thing I'll throw out to the group I'd love to hear. I think maximum, because of where they're at, like someone said, Fizz got to produce now. You got to develop these guys. They got more veteran guys. With the way they want to build this team, I think the Knicks need to come in day one of training camp, write 40 on the board, circle it, come hell or high water, try to hit that number of wins. That needs to be their goal, 40 wins. I'm not saying they're going to do it. But I think that needs to be the goal with this team. Write 40 down. You scratch, claw, coach, whatever you need to do to get to the 40 wins. Do y'all think that that needs to be a goal?
Yeah,
obviously, we want more, but
that,
with this team.
Okay. I'll say yes. I think that's a goal, whether they attain it or not. But just to put the goal up there, that's something to aim for. And I think they have some of these veterans to trying to attain that goal. So yeah, I would say I don't think they will, but I think that's where the coach needs to influence them as far as trying to make. I think that's probably around the eighth, ninth seed around there for the East. So saying 40. We'll throw that question around to Dominic Chandler and Mr. Live. But let me go real quick on Elfrid Payton, and I'm with you guys. To me, when you really thought about it after the fact, because the knee-jerk reaction is like, why the hell we need another point guard in Elfrid Payton? The point was, this is when you really, you know, and you guys already alluded to after you figured it out, like, oh, Scott Perry, he's trying to do the Mario Hezonja thing as far as old players he drafted and trying to rekindle our old flame and make those old draft projects work again. Now, Elfrid Payton, now, for what it's worth, is going to put pressure on Dennis Smith Jr. The games are totally different. I'm not going to reiterate all those points because you guys are actually correct. He's totally different, like what Chandler said. I mean, he's old school. He's a pass-first point guard. He's going to come off the bench and probably give you at least 6 assists. I mean, that's pretty good. But he's not an attacker. Maybe just trying to look at this half-glass, half-empty, half full, however you want to look at it, as far as maybe that could be a good thing. Maybe you wanted something that's going to push you, but it's a totally different game than the starting point guard that's on paper in Dennis Smith Jr. But he can't shoot. We already know that. His thing last year was health. He couldn't get, you know, he was injured a lot in New Orleans. But, I mean, take it for what it's worth. I mean, you had that chemistry towards the end of the year with Julius Randle. Maybe that's something they could build upon if you see those cross lineups in the rotation. Maybe you see Julius Randle and Elfrid Payton. They did that. They actually had a good chemistry towards the end of last year in New Orleans when they were on the court. This is all when Anthony Davis was not playing a lot of games. But as far as Elfrid Payton, the signing didn't make sense at all. It still doesn't, because only from the sense of Scott Perry. Now, as far as Fenton and Lakina, that to me is pretty much the writing on the wall for him. They gave up on him. We all know that Scott Perry and really more Scott Perry than anything, didn't draft Frank Ntilikina. This was more Phil Jackson-ish, so they're trying to pretty much give him away for a garage sale. I mean, they can't give nothing. So he's pretty much just going to hand out programs in the stands, wave towels, like all the things Mr. Lye said. That's what Frank Ntilikina is going to do. So what Elfrid Payton is going to do is play ball control, limit the turnover. He's not going to be as turnover prone as a Dennis Smith Jr., but the times you're going to ask him to be aggressive, is he going to take that open shot? No, he's kind of like Rondo. He's kind of going to look for the pass first, just play a control game like that. He's a 1980s, 1990s point guard. Good defensive point guard, but I don't know if it's enough. He's not great at it, but he's a pretty good defensive point guard. Don't like the signing at all because I just thought that there were other ways the Knicks could have gone with it, and then it kind of caused a friction with rotation. Now, let me go back to Bobby Portis. We were talking about Bobby Portis, and then we'll go back to you, Dominic, and get your question answered from Bryce as far as the number 40 for the Knicks. I look at the four center combinations, you know, the center combinations coming off the bench. There's only really three teams in the East I think are better than the Knicks. When we're talking about Mitchell Robinson and Bobby Portis, Philadelphia, I think that if there's two of them in our division, I think that could give us problems. If you're talking about straight up centers, if you're looking at Joel Embiid whenever he's healthy and Al Horford and Joel Embiid, that's a load. To me, those are two fives. I know Horford could play the four, but that's two fives you got to deal with. And then you have a Greg Monroe for whatever it's worth. Then you look at even at Brooklyn. I mean, they actually have, you know, with Allen and DeAndre Jordan. You got to give, to me, DeAndre Jordan because of the veteran experience over Mitchell Robinson. I don't fear anything what Boston's throwing out there. I know there's Cancer out there and maybe Theus, but that's it. I mean, Dice or whatever his name is for Boston. I don't see anything I'm fearing out of them. Or even if you look at Toronto, I mean, Ibaka and Gasol, that's more of a 4 and 5, and they're starting, but there's no bench behind those guys that I fear. I think Indiana actually poses a threat to the Knicks. You see some of these games where we played the Pacers last year where Sabonis went like 11 for 11 off the bench, so you got Miles Turner and Sabonis. I think that combination is better than Mitchell Robinson and Bobby Portis. But to me, the combination that I think we are similar to, but I think they're better, just an upgrade, is the Detroit's combination. If you look at Andre Drummond and Thon Maker coming off the bench behind Andre Drummond, that to me, Mitchell Robinson and Bobby Portis is more Andre Drummond and Thon Maker. Now, I want to get you guys' opinions on that, if you can answer my question as far as what other four, just in the East, or, because I'm looking more at East teams, not the West. Dominic, I'll go back to you. Bryce's question as far as the number 40, you think that's the goal Fizdale should be writing on the whiteboard that the Knicks should be able to attain? We could also go to Taj Gibson as well, if you sound off on Taj Gibson. And my question as far as what other center combinations in the Eastern Conference that you say, man, we're going to have a problem tonight. You know, I think it's going to be like Detroit, just from a position level, Detroit, Brooklyn, Philadelphia, those are the teams, Indiana. Those teams stick out to me that we'll have problems with that at the five. But Dominic, your thoughts as far as Taj Gibson, the number 40 on the whiteboard, and then what about centers in the East that are better than the Knicks?
Let's go with Bryce's question first. I think I put this out one time before during this Knicks thing. I have the Knicks trying to win 42 games for the simple fact of you haven't had a winning season in so long. I always go back to my old saying, you don't get better by getting worse. So they have to have a goal of having a winning record. Whether they attain it, that's just my goal, guys. I'm not Nostradamus. But I want to see it more in the lines of progression. We have not seen a winning season as a Knicks fan for about 5 years now. So it's time. And again, this is all contingent. All these players we've mentioned and mixing and matching, it goes back to one guy, Fizdale. Now it's your time. You know, it's none of this, we're going to plug and play people so that we lose games. Now it's time to plug and play these players so that we can win games. To the Taj Gibson, I just got a funny feeling, guys. He's just going to be a plug-in. I don't expect him to get a lot of minutes. I know they gave him decent money. But it sort of goes to the reverse of what Chandler was saying. You know, if, and to piggyback off of Mr. Live, if you know you have a project, then you should have a plan B for said project. You just can't go into saying we have a project. We've done that for too long. These guys are projects. That's why we won 17 games, 25 games, 22 games, 17 games. We relied on these projects, and we had no backup plan for these projects. Hence the reason having a losing record for all these years. You got to have a backup plan. And I think that's what Taj Gibson's going to be, you know, to spell Randall. I mean, not Randall, to spell Mitchell Robinson, possibly Portis, maybe even fill in for Randall here and there. But it's good to have these pieces now, guys. It's not like we have a wing and a prayer with Horzonia and all these guys we picked up that we were going to develop but never developed or help develop, and they never helped develop nothing. Now we have some developed players. How Fizdale develops them into a system, into a team, is solely on him. I'm going to keep saying that, guys. The clock is ticking, Fizdale. There's no more, you know, we don't have this, we don't have that, we're building for this. We got good pieces right now. How are you going to use these good pieces? That's my take on all of what we talked about so far this year. See, we could talk about every player. Every player that we talked about is still going to revolve around the coach, his system, and his rotation. So on that note, I'll pass it to my buddy, Mr. Live, and I got to get out this win.
All right, we'll go back to Dominic and get his thoughts. Let's get to Chandler. Chandler, the number 40 on the board from Fizdale. Well, that was Bryce's question. Also, my question as well, as far as the backup, you know, the center combinations in the E's or fours and fives, and then of course your thoughts on Taj Gibson, and then we'll go to Mr. Live.
Well, I think the playoffs should always be the goal for every team, regardless of whether they think they can or not. That should be the goal. The goal should be try to make the playoffs, especially in the East. So that, I don't see where that's an unreasonable thing to say, hey, we should be trying to make the playoffs. 40-plus wins should be the goal. Whether they will or not, who knows. With the center forward, with the center combos, yeah, I'd agree that Philly's going to be better. I think Detroit is probably better. Indiana, I would take. Brooklyn, yeah, because they also drafted that other young, energetic big man whose name I can't remember, to go along and say they're going to have almost like a three-headed rotation there. So that might be a wash depending on how you look at it. I'd say the Knicks have probably the fourth or fifth best center combo, if you will, if you're going to look at Robinson and Portis as the two guys man in the five. Then the question becomes, why did you sign Taj Gibson? See, you signed a bunch of guys you signed the same guy multiple times. If Portis is going to be either the backup or the starter, Robinson falters, then why is Taj Gibson here? Taj Gibson is a veteran who's, I'm pretty sure, didn't sign with the Knicks for the money he signed for to be a bit player. Not for that money. That's not bit player money. So where is he going to play? Because if you don't have Portis, then Gibson is the guy that's at the five with Robinson. But if Portis is the guy at the five with Robinson, where's Taj Gibson playing? Because Randall's going to bulk of the minutes. So when Randall comes out, initially probably Portis will come for that. And then when Robinson goes, maybe you bring in Gibson, but then where's Marcus Morris? See, Marcus Morris has to be in that mix too. So when does Taj Gibson get to play? I don't – again, you keep signing the same guy, just an older, just different versions of him. If you love Portis and they signed Gibson first, by the way. If you sign Gibson, why is Portis here? If you sign Portis, why is Gibson here? I don't see how it works. And then to say, okay, you sign him to trade him, that sounds good in the vacuum. But again, you're screwing over another veteran. You guys know how I feel about how the Knicks treat good veteran players. So another veteran you bring in, you promise him something, you sit him at the end of the bench, and then you trade him, which again leads to you not getting good veteran players when you're ready to win. Because at a certain point, you know, it's a progression. You know, you get young players. Okay, in the second or third season with the young players, you bring a couple of veterans to kind of get them, to teach them how to win.
once you teach them how to win, then you got to bring in the winning veterans to kind of take them over the hump. You're never going to get the winning veterans if you keep screwing over veteran players. So, again, I don't understand it. And honestly, for me, it all comes down to I don't trust the fact that Fizdale can coach. I think the worst thing I heard about him is, oh, he's the most vocal coach I ever heard. He's not a great X and O guy, not a great, you know, game manager. He's vocal. You know, we already know he can talk. Can he coach?
All right, that is Chandler. Thank you very much. Let's get to Mr. Live. Mr. Live, let's get to Taj Gibson. Bryce's question as far as the number 40, as far as the goal for the Knicks on the whiteboard this year. Actually, you know, we're going to use that as an ongoing discussion talking point, Bryce, that number 40, the whiteboard that the coaches. We're going to use that going forward all the way through the regular season.
Nice.
The chart. Mr. Live, your thoughts on Taj Gibson? As well. And then also the center combinations. Where do you rank the Knicks center combinations in the East? And then we'll go back to Bryce.
Wow. Okay, the center. Well, in the East, man, I you know what I'm saying? Y'all might, you know, after Embiid, after, let me see. Okay, well, yeah. Shucks. Did Milwaukee keep Lopez?
They have both Lopez's, both brothers, the twins.
Oh right, they did. They did get Robin. Right. That's right. Okay, so Milwaukee, Philly, and Orlando. Right. No, okay,
Bamba
Milwaukee, Orlando, and Detroit. Those I think are better front courts than we got. We fall nicely in that fifth because, I mean, Cantor, we gonna have a picnic with him. I mean, we gonna kill him when we get to Boston. Toronto, I think we gonna molest Gasol too. He's gonna catch hell. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and I don't think Siakam gonna be able to make up for whatever, you know what I'm saying? Gasol getting molested. Brooklyn Nets, I forgot about us. Yeah, nah, we about six, man. We got some work. We about six down, man. But we do have a better front court than most of the teams. Most of the East Coast teams, anyway. I think we're in good position. The 40 games, why not? You know what I'm saying? I got us at 35. You know what I'm saying? I got us at 35. Again, man, we talking about people taking a step forward, you know, improving. You know, we're going to need Knox to fulfill his potential this year. You know, he looked comfortable in summer league, so. But we don't need a regression either. You know what I'm saying? Again, to Steve's point, I noticed Mitch is real comfortable out there now, like throwing his body all over the place. So he might average another foul or two more. So, you know, regression is important. So important to avoid. And but you know, again, I think with the addition of all of the veteran guys. You know, including, and then, you know, again, man, shout out to Taj Gibson, man. You know what I'm saying? He's from my projects, Fort Greene, Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be out there on the 30th with him. Well, not with him, but, you know, we're going to be in the rec center, you know, and we're going to be doing our thing in there. So I think he got all that money for two reasons. One, the Knicks had to spend that money. Two, well, to get him, to lock him up and players like him, you know, for the trade deadline. Two, I think him and Ellington are mentors. You know what I'm saying? You got all these guys that's young. Then you got these other veteran types that's gonna actually play. I think Taj and I think Ellington is there to get them brothers in bed on time. You know what I'm saying? Get them off of that Minecraft. You know what I'm saying? Get them off of what they call that front. That's the thing my son played. Fortnite. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Fortnite. And get them off some video games and get them out the club and, you know what I'm saying, eat their vegetables and all that. I really think that's what – I don't think Taj is going to get a whole lot of minutes, you know, unless somebody get hurt. But then if you got – if somebody isn't, you know what I'm saying, unable to play them games, that front court, you have a veteran guy, solid guy in Taj Gibson. You got a decent guy in Ellington to come in and continue to space your floor. So I thought both, you know what I'm saying, I think Taj was a good pickup, man. I don't think, you know what I'm saying, when people worry about the minutes, with him, he's not going to get that much minutes. I think Portis plays over him, you know, for the duration. You know what I'm saying? And I think he knows what he's here for. So, anything else?
I think that's it. Anything else you would like to add, and we could go to Bryce. I have nothing else.
Right. Now, again, man, Gibson is my guy, man. I think in totality, man, we have a 40-win team. I that 35-40-win team, I could see it happen.
All right, Mr. Live, thank you very much. Bryce, I got your question answered. Anything else on Taj Gibson? Then after that, we'll go around for final thoughts.
I like the Taj Gibson signing only because I like Taj as a backup player. And again, I think when you start to look at the minutiae of it, you know, Mitch Robinson could be a star, but this year, for this time, if he continues to foul out, you're going to need a guy that can come in who's going to give you some of those things. Good defense, run the floor, block shots. Taj can move the ball. He's played on winning teams. He's a good veteran. People have always talked about him being a good teammate. He's going to play hard, going to teach you how to work. We all know the Knicks can't have enough of those guys on the team. And if Mitch is in foul trouble, or Julius gets in foul trouble, or those type of things, and guys get tired, you want to be able to rotate guys in. Taj can play some four, position flexibility. He can also play some five. So, you know, he can slide to the five, Portis to the four, Morris to the three. You know, Morris gets a breather. You know, Knox comes in, he plays the three. So they can do different things with this lineup. I like Taj Gibson as a signing and a player. I hope he stays. You know, if the Knicks, I think as we get close to the trading deadline, if the Knicks are being competitive, I actually think Taj Gibson will stay with the team. And they'll try to make whatever push they can to win as many games as possible. I like that signing.
All right. Shout out to Bryce. The Taj Gibson signing, because of the lodger, and like you said, it was Chandler. The timing of it was weird. Getting him was one thing, but then adding Portis behind that was like, okay, what are you guys are doing? Veteran presence, I kind of wish we would have had him a few years earlier. But going with that, I don't know where the minutes is going to go, because now you added Morris to the mix. Where is Taj Gibson going to get adequate minutes as far – or then if it's not Morris, then what about Knox? Like, it's a domino effect between the fours and the threes. So veteran presence is one thing. Amount of minutes is another. I'm not exactly sure how that's going to fit, or if he's going to be in the rotation. I mean, we know he's been a solid backup all those years in Chicago and then a couple of years in Minnesota. I like him as a player, and especially a guy who's – we got a bunch of tough players that I definitely do like, tough character guys. But as far as finding minutes for these guys, I'm not 100% sure how that's going to work. But let's get some final thoughts. Like I said, we'll be back the Wednesday after Labor Day, so it'll be Wednesday, same time, 9 p.m. We'll get three more Knicks on the dialogue. But, Dominic, your final thoughts, and go right down the line. Dominic, Chandler, Mr. Live, Bryce, your final thoughts, Dominic, give us about a minute. Or your final thoughts between our team or even the rest of the NBA?
The more I think about this, sometimes more can be merrier. We're looking at positions, players, log jams, but we're not factoring in minutes, injuries, whatever may come up. So the more I think about it, I'm not going to say I'm super comfortable with it, but I understand some of the logic right now. As far as where we're going, again, guys, we're all asking the same questions, have the same scenarios, either with minutes, players. It still boils down to one guy. And that's David Fizdale. It's your time now. You know, tick tock, tick tock. You're on the clock. This is all on you now. You've had time to look this over. Y'all put this together. Now it's time to make it work. And I'm sticking with a winning record, 42-40. No worse than 41-41. Because this is what we need. We can't keep losing. Because you're not building nothing by doing that. We could trade players at the trade deadline all we want every year for the next 5 years. That means we're not winning. We need to start winning. I'm not even going to get it. Not going to get into what the Nets did. We just simply need to start winning, period. Look at the Knicks. Look at going forward and start putting some wins together. And, of course, Steve, you know, I love this. Mr. Live, you got my phone number, man. I'm still waiting for you to call me. But I appreciate this, Steve. You know I love it, man. Thank you, guys.
Shout-outs to Mr. Live. Shout-outs to Chandler. Shout-outs to Dominic. It's good to Chandler. Your final thoughts, Chandler, your final thoughts, our squad or the rest of the NBA, then we go to Mr. Live and then Bryce.
For me, it's real simple. I don't care what your wife looked like, David Fizdale. I don't care how well you can talk. I need to see you actually coach. I don't care about none of that other nonsense, okay? Because I guess I'm the only one that didn't buy his super hair growth formula because I'm not buying into him. But I need to see him actually coach, all right? Period, end of story. All the rest of it, that's for everybody else. I don't care who's from Brooklyn. I don't care where you're from. I need to see David Fizdale coach, period. And Devin Booker, stop whining about being double-teamed in the freaking preseason. Learn your craft, which means you're going to have to play at a double team. Shut up.
Shout out to Chandler, man. Shout out to Chandler, man. Thank you very much, man. Mr. Live, final thoughts. Give us a minute and then go to Bryce.
Yo, can we shout Chandler out one more time, man, for stating the truth about not caring about what his wife looked like? Yo, that's the truth, dog. I'm tired of the camp counselor stuff, man. I'm tired of, you know, my buddy the coach thing, man. The X's and O's got to be there, man. I was saying that early last year. We need it now. It will determine whether we win 25 games or 40 games. You know what I'm saying? Because that's going to be the X factor. He has to, you know, there might be some tough love and somebody might be gone like Dennis Smith Jr. Or somebody else, man, who won their little last year that need to get burned and might not get no burn because they're playing lousy. That's the coach's job. You can't be everybody's friend. So, you know, big up that sentiment, man. I need to see at least 30 games. You know, I want to see at least 30 games, and that's going to be a concerted effort. I want to see a really big trade at the trade deadline. We got enough players, so we have a log jam at the forward spot. We got a log jam at the guard spot. Let's cartel that and maybe some picks or a nice little Bradley Beal signing. Let's get that. Let's make that happen. So. Shout out everybody. Yo, Dom, I'm actually going to ring you right after this, bro.
All right, buddy. I'll be here.
All right.
All right. Shout out to Mr. Live, man. Thank you very much. Shout out to Mr. Live. Bryce, final thoughts. Good to hear from you, my man. Final thoughts.
Appreciate it, fam. So, final thoughts. Couple things. One, I agree with what everyone is saying about Fizdale. I like Fizdale. He got to really coach him up this year. They really need someone that's going to continue that development. They got to make that jump. So one thing I haven't heard tonight that is important is I think when you look at good teams, they've been able to build depth to withstand injury. So we may have a logjam, but sometimes these things end up playing themselves out because guys get banged up. They get injured, things happen. You want to have a team that can at least keep some type of standard. And, you know, based on our conversation, is to get to that 40 wins. So I want to see that. Last point, that article with Kevin Durant and answering on Twitter about the Devin Booker double team thing had me crying, yo. Hilarious. That is funny.
All right. Bryce, man, great to hear from you, man. Talking Knicks every Wednesday. Good to hear from you. Hope we get to hear from you before the start of the regular season, as long along with Dominic, Mr. Live, Chandler, Knickerbocker Avenue, Source for the Streets of our Knicks. This episode on Portis, Gibson, and Payne. We'll be back not next Wednesday, but the Wednesday after Labor Day, same time, 9 p.m. We'll have three more Knicks for you guys. It's a great dialogue, man. This is fantastic Knicks dialogue, Knicks religious dialogue. Wednesday after Labor Day, we'll be back. 2 weeks. Sangre Azul, Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.